Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. Welcome to Journey of Faith. My name is Krista Reyna. I'm one of the pastors here on staff at the church. So just a very special hello to everybody here in the room at Manhattan Beach and to Torrance. Very nice to join you live at this moment. Anybody who's watching us online, I'm really feeling so humbled and grateful to be able to share this message with you today and that we can all be together just to worship God and see what he has in store for us today. So like Jill said, today is a pretty meaningful day for us because we are starting the final message in the story project. We started the story project almost a year and a half ago, and what we've done throughout this project is really looked at lots of different important stories in the Bible. And we've realized that the Bible isn't just made up of random stories, but that all the stories, they weave together to create this amazing picture of God's big story. It's a grand narrative. And we've seen that we've learned about God through this process. We've learned about what God's up to in the world. And we've seen how we fit into God's story. So we started back in the book of Genesis when God created the earth and everything in it. And today we're going to begin a three-week series where we're looking at the very last book of the Bible, which is Revelation. And what's interesting about Revelation is it can be a little bit confusing. Sometimes it can feel even a little discouraging as we read it. But what we've done is actually called this series All Good Things because the book of Revelation is meant to inspire us and give us hope for the future. It's meant to give us a picture of what Jesus has in store for his followers when we continue to walk with him in this life and what will happen in the next. But here's the thing. A lot of people, they start reading Revelation and they stop. And I think that they stop because it is full of a lot of strange images, kind of these fantastical things that don't make sense. And when we're reading it, we're like, hey, what does this have to do with my life? How does this apply to me? And it's really unfortunate because what we see is that the book of Revelation is actually one of the most hope-filled books in the Bible, but we put off reading it even though it's something that can be really useful in our lives. Are there things in your life that you put off doing even though you know that they could be useful and good for you, but you put off doing them because they don't make sense or you're afraid or you're uncertain of what's going to happen? For me, the thing that I put off most in my life is going to the dentist. I haven't been to the dentist in a couple of years because when I was a kid, I had the worst dentist. I remember walking into that office and just the smell of all the equipment and the chemicals. I felt like they were just like emitting from him. And I remember his face hovering over mine with the like sharp dental tools, like trying to get plaque out of my teeth. And it was horrible. And I have carried that fear with me into adulthood. And I don't go to see the dentist very rarely. But this week, I was working on this message, and I needed a sermon illustration where I chose to do something that I didn't want to do because I was kind of scared, but that would turn out good in the end. So for you guys, I made a dentist appointment, and I went there. Yes, thank you. I went there on Friday. It was fun. So, well, it wasn't fun, but I did it. It's fun now. When I got there, I felt like the anxiety kind of bubbling up. I tend to like lean towards an anxious personality. And when I got in the chair, really, I felt the anxiety, like my chest felt kind of heavy. But then you know what? They put that heavy x-ray blanket on top of me and I was like, oh, this is like a weighted blanket, which is really good for people that suffer from anxiety. So I've got the x-ray blanket on me. I take some breaths of just like the dentist office aroma. And then I turned up my palms and I was like, Jesus, hold my hand. Be here with me in this moment. And you know what? I kept that image of Jesus with me throughout the entire appointment. And it was great. I didn't have a single cavity, amazingly enough, yes. And the dentist didn't shame me for my mediocre flossing skills. In fact, he showed me how to floss even better. Thank you, Dr. Lee, if you're watching. And the other thing was, Actually, the one thing that I do have to do, I have to go back on Friday to have wisdom teeth removed. So maybe you could pray for me about that on Friday. I don't know. Oh, we'll see. I think it's going to be fine. I really trusted this dentist. But you know what? I know it's really wild. What is so great about this story, though, is this is a lot what reading Revelation can feel like. Like, it's unknown. You're kind of scared. At least for me, you don't know what to expect. From the outside, it seems intimidating. From the outside, this experience is intimidating to me. But when we finally read it, when we open up our Bible, we find Jesus. Jesus in all of his glory, and he's giving us hope, and he's giving us encouragement for today. So we're going to bravely open up the book of Revelation in this series because we're going to find something that is really important for us to know and understand. It's necessary for us. Now, Revelation was written by one of Jesus's followers. His name was John. And when John wrote Revelation, he was actually in exile in an island called Patmos. He had been sent there by Roman authorities for preaching about Jesus, for teaching people about Jesus. And the Roman authorities, they were having none of it. So here's John. He's exiled on this island. He's alone, away from his friends, away from family, away from people that loved him. And he's in for a really big surprise because it's in this exile that Jesus, his closest friend, appears to him in a vision. And it's this vision that John has on this island that we're going to be talking through over the next 3 weeks. So let's dive in and see what John writes to kind of set up the book of Revelation for us. He says, "This is a revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the events that must soon take place. He sent an angel to present this revelation to his servant John, who faithfully reported everything he saw. This is his report of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ." So the very first sentence gives an idea of what this book is about. It is a revelation from Jesus Christ. And this word revelation, it has deeper roots in the Greek word apocalypsis. Now, apocalypsis, or apocalypse, as you know in the English language, has come to mean kind of something like catastrophic events or events that are going to happen that usher in the end of the world. But when the Bible talks about an apocalyptic experience, it's meant to reveal truths to us about heavenly things that we don't quite understand yet. In fact, it means an unveiling or a pulling back of a curtain. So the book of Revelation is not meant to cause us doom and gloom. It's actually meant to reveal the greatness and the glory of Jesus. And that's what we're going to find throughout this series. This is, I think, such a relief for us too, right? Because in a time in the world when it kind of seems like there's a lot of chaos going on, maybe in the world or even in our own lives, I think what we need more than anything, more than ever, is a very clear picture of Jesus, a very clear revelation of who he is in our lives. You know, we all have that picture of Jesus kind of like from the Gospels, when Jesus is walking amongst people and he's healing people and he's teaching them about God and he's loving them. This is that same Jesus, but now he's in his heavenly glory. That's what we're going to be learning about this morning. Our main idea for today that we want to focus on is we should listen to Jesus's clear instructions for today. In the book of Revelation, there are instructions from this heavenly, amazing Jesus that when we follow them, we will experience change in our life. We will experience hope and wholeness and a future that's better than we can ever imagine. So John is going to give us a picture now of how Jesus appeared to him. And it's this appearance of Jesus where we get these instructions from. "Jesus was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace. And his voice, it thundered like mighty ocean waves. He held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth. His face was like the sun in all of its brilliance. So this is pretty wild, right? Like Jesus here, he's appearing, his face is like sun. He's holding seven stars in his hand. He has a sword coming out of his mouth. What is happening here is this is the kind of vivid, symbolic imagery that is common in apocalyptic literature. Again, it is meant to reveal Jesus to us and to give us a glimpse into the spiritual reality of kind of what's happening in heaven. And this is John's way of helping us see just how awesome Jesus is. So once John realizes that this is Jesus, he does have a moment where he falls to the ground like a dead man. You can read that on your own. But Jesus, in all of his gentleness and greatness, just reaches out to John. And he said, hey, don't be afraid. It's me. I'm with you. And so John, you know, he brushes himself off. He stands up. He realizes it's Jesus. And Jesus gives him seven messages for seven churches that existed during John's day. Each message was very specific for these churches, but what is fascinating about the messages is that they apply to us today. It's almost like you could take our lives and put us back in those churches, and you'd be like, oh, this is so similar to what we're experiencing today. So while you're listening to these messages from Jesus, we're gonna walk through three themes that Jesus gives in these seven messages. And what I'd love for you to do is try to find yourself in one of these themes. Be curious about what God wants you to learn today through these words, because God has you here today for a very specific reason. And it might come through one of these themes. And so please be curious about what God is teaching you today. All right, let's start with the very first theme. The very first theme that Jesus speaks to John is that he wants us to be faithful. You see, faithfulness to God is something that is important in every season of our life. We have those seasons where things are going good and things are really smooth, and then there's this kind of arc all the way over to where maybe we are in a really tough season in life. And wherever we find ourselves on that continuum, God wants us to be faithful to him. So here's what Jesus says to John, to these two churches. They were Ephesus and Smyrna. Ephesus, you might remember, Pastor Alex preached on last week. This is that same church that he spoke about. Let's see what Jesus says to Ephesus. I know all the things you do. I've seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. Can you imagine, like, the most holy, glorious Jesus with eyes like fire saying this to you? You'd be like, oh, right, I'm doing pretty good. It's like Jesus is saying, great job. But then comes the next part. It's a little bit of a correction. Jesus says, but I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you've fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. This kind of reminds me when you get a performance review at work and your boss is like, you did this great, and this great, but I want you to work on this part. Like, it's kind of like you get that sinking feeling, but Jesus is telling us what they need to work on because it's good for them. He wants them to grow and mature in their faith. As I was reading this part about having that complaint against you, I did imagine them kind of getting that sinking feeling, but I realized that it's not that they failed at doing good things. God praises them. Jesus praises them for the good things that they've done. But somewhere along the way, he's telling them, you've lost your love and passion for me and for others. Some of you might remember this verse that Jesus' friend Matthew recorded Jesus saying. And Jesus said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. You see, Jesus tells us that when we are faithful to him, love is the center of our faith. Love is the core of everything we do. And maybe you can relate to what this church is experiencing. Like from the outside, you're doing all the right things. You're doing good things. You're showing up to work on time. You're showing up to school. You're doing your work. You're doing your projects. But you're not inviting Jesus into that experience. You're not saying, Jesus, I love you so much that I want you to be here with me as I work. I want you to help me with this project. I want you to help me deal with this person in my workplace that drives me nuts. I want you to help me love this person in my workplace that drives me nuts. Because you know what? Jesus wants us to love that person too. Maybe you read your Bible a few times a week, or you're doing devotions on a daily basis. But as you read and you experience God's word, you just do it for that moment, and then it doesn't change you as you go out into the world. It doesn't change how you treat or relate to other people. Again, it's not that we're failing completely. It's just that sometimes, without even realizing it, we lose that, like that passion and that fire that we had for Jesus when we first came to know him. If you've been a follower of Jesus for so long, you can probably remember that moment or that period of time when you were just like so in love with Jesus and you wanted to follow him and be like him. And sometimes that can fade for us. What Jesus is saying is, remain faithful to me by loving others. Let's look at the second church that Jesus had the same message for. He says to them, I know about your suffering and your poverty, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those opposing you. Don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. The devil will throw some of you into prison to test you, but if you remain faithful, even when facing death, I'll give you the crown of life. Smyrna was a very wealthy, beautiful city. And the followers of Jesus there, what was happening is they were refusing to bow down to Rome or to the false Roman gods. And because they refused to do this, they were cut out of important business opportunities, so they couldn't make money. That's why they were living in poverty. They were banished by their family. Some of them, like it says, were even thrown in prison. But in the midst of all of that happening, Jesus says to them, you are rich. This is the kind of wealth that comes from knowing God and following him. And no one, no circumstance, no bad day or bad experience can take away the value of having a relationship with Jesus in our lives. And then he goes on to tell them, don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. When we are in a situation where we are suffering through something in life, this probably isn't what we want to hear. We don't want to hear, don't be afraid because you're going to keep suffering. We want to hear Jesus say, I've seen how much you've suffered, and I'm going to scoop up all that suffering and I'm just going to throw it in the fire. But what Jesus is saying is that doesn't always work that way. Sometimes we are in seasons of suffering, and we find ourselves there. When we find ourselves there, Jesus wants us to remain faithful to him. You might be showing up to church today, and you are carrying a heavy burden. Maybe you have a loss in your life. You're just going through a dark time, maybe financial stress. Maybe the burden you carry isn't really like the worst thing it could be, but you're just tired. What Jesus is saying is, remain faithful to me in those times. And being faithful to Jesus in those times means praying to him, even when you don't feel like it. It means showing up and caring for and loving others, even when you don't have the energy sometimes. It means loving yourself. Jesus wants you to love yourself the way he loves you. Faithfulness is allowing Jesus to hold your hand in every circumstance. And we hold Jesus' hand not because we're like gripping onto him for dear life. We hold his hand and we wrap our arms around him because he is there to bring us comfort and peace and encouragement in the difficult times. Two churches, Jesus is calling them to be faithful. Is this the theme that Jesus has for you today? Let's look at the second theme. Jesus wants us to stay out of sin's trap. This was a message for two other churches in Asia at the time, Pergamum and Thyatira. And what Jesus is telling them is that sometimes the biggest threat to your faith, to you having goodness in your life, shows up in the form of compromise. So let's see what he said to Pergamum. "I know that you live in the city where Satan has his throne, yet you have remained loyal to me. You refused to deny me, even when Antipas, my faithful witness, was martyred among you there in Satan's city. But I have a few complaints against you. You tolerate some among you whose teaching is like that of Balaam, who showed Balak how to trip up the people of Israel." This is a callback to some people that were in the Old Testament stories. "He taught them to sin by eating food offered to idols and by committing sexual sin." So Pergamum was a center for idol worship. They were worshiping emperors. They had this way of life. And the Christians were doing a pretty good job of staying strong in some ways. But in other ways, they were letting this false teaching kind of creep into their lives. It was a subtle thing that was clouding their devotion to Jesus. Here's what Jesus said to the church in Thyatira. "I have this complaint against you. You are permitting that woman, that Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, to lead my servants astray. She teaches them to commit sexual sin and to eat food offered to idols." Both of these churches, God gives them a very stern warning. And the danger wasn't that they were full out, you know, rejecting Jesus. They still loved Jesus. They were remaining faithful to him. But they were slowly giving into unhealthy, unholy influences in their lives. And Jesus is warning them here that compromise, it starts small. Sometimes something can seem like it's not a really big deal. We're just going to do this thing once. But over time, it begins to dull our sensitivity and our awareness to the impact that sin has in our lives, and that doesn't serve us well. It doesn't serve you. It doesn't serve God. It doesn't serve the world well. For us, it can look sometimes like fudging something at work, like, ooh, I know this isn't exactly right, but I'm going to do it anyway, or maybe a school project. Sometimes it can look like numbing out every single night to something that is not a good habit, or maybe it's a substance. Slow compromise in our life, it also shows up in how we maybe aren't loyal or faithful to people that we love, maybe our spouse or someone that we're in a relationship with. And I think what's interesting about the sin in this way is it doesn't always mean like you're having a full-on affair with somebody in your life, but maybe you're flirting with somebody at work. Maybe you're having text messages that you shouldn't have. Maybe there's a space in your life where you're like, I swear I'm never gonna do that thing again. But it slowly started to creep back in and it's starting to feel normal. Jesus wants you to stay out of that trap. And it's not because he wants to ruin our fun or he doesn't want our life to be exciting, but he knows that sin is destructive. It causes a heaviness and a weightiness in our lives that does not come from Jesus. And if you have ever felt that weight of sin in your life, here's the encouragement. You are not alone. That same Jesus that approached John in this vision, that same Jesus that healed people, the same Jesus that was with me at the dentist, he's there with you and he wants you to reach out and grab his hand because you know what? He wants to lift the weight of sin from your life and he wants to walk with you towards freedom. When you follow Jesus, your life becomes kind of like this slow journey, one step after the other of becoming more like Jesus. So that's the encouragement. Walk with him towards who he is, what he's like, who you know him to be. Our main idea was we should listen for God's clear instructions for today. It's so essential because we can end up in places that we were never meant to be. Let's listen to what he says. All right, here's our third theme for today. Jesus wants our faith to stay vital and useful. He gave this message to three churches, Sardis, Philadelphia, in Asia, not Pennsylvania, and then Laodicea. Let's see how he approaches this first church. He says, I know all the things you do and that you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead. I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. Go back to what you heard and believed at first. Hold to it firmly. Repent and turn to me again. Again, he's asking them, go back to the way you once felt for me. From the outside, this church looked alive, but on the inside, they were drained. They were barely hanging on. In fact, they almost looked like they were dead. A few months ago, my son and his friend, they started a car detailing business, and they got all the equipment that they needed to do car detailing, and they came to me and they said they wanted to give me the friends and family discount to detail my car. Car detailing is expensive, and I was like, okay, sure, I'd love the friends and family discount. So they detailed my car. It was great. It was so shiny on the outside. It was bluer than I even remember ever being. They'd gotten in the inside and vacuumed kind of all the dust and the dirt and like French fry crumbs that were in there. Just, it was amazing. I was so excited to drive it. And I went out to the front of the house the next day. I pushed the brake because it's a push to start ignition. And when I pushed it, it was like, I must have done something wrong. So I pushed the brake again in ignition. Nothing. It was totally dead. I think while they were doing the detailing, it accidentally bumped one of the overhead lights and it drained the battery in the car. That is a perfect picture of a faith that lacks vitality. On the surface, my car looked great. Didn't take me anywhere. Next time you have a dead battery, remember this moment and say, hey, how does my faith look? Is my faith vital? Is my faith useful? Here's what Jesus said to the next church. I know all the things you do, and I have opened a door for you that no one can close. You have little strength that you obeyed my word and did not deny me. I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. This is to the church in Philadelphia. This is the one church that Jesus had no correction for. And there are some of you listening to this today, and you're like, I think I'm doing pretty good. I'm trying. I'm remaining faithful. I'm not sinning. I'm doing all these things. This is for you because Jesus wants you to hold on. Stay strong. This is his encouragement for you today. Let's look at one more church. I know all the things you do. Jesus always knows what we're doing, by the way. I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. When something is hot, like hot water, it's useful. We use it to do laundry. We make soup. We cook food. It gets rid of germs. When something is cold, like cold water, it's also useful. It's very refreshing. What Jesus is telling them is that, hey, lukewarm water, not so good. Unless you haven't been to the dentist in 3 years and your teeth hurt when you drink cold water, then stick with the lukewarm water, but don't have faith that's lukewarm. Jesus wants our faith to be useful and vital. And maybe you can relate to one of these churches. You're showing up, you're here at church, which is so great. I'm so glad that you're here. But then you leave this place and you don't engage with God during the week. Maybe you've had those moments in church where you're like, this is the week. I'm gonna make a change, or I'm gonna pray this week. I'm gonna talk to God about my challenges and my problems. I'm gonna thank him for all the things, and I got a friend that I'm gonna pray for. And then you don't do it. I have a friend, she's my spiritual mentor. She's over at the Torrance campus. Her name is Jan. And Jan has a regular practice of praying for people every day. When she says, I'm gonna pray for you, she does it. I know that she prays for my family. She prays for me and my kids and my job, all kinds of things. That is a vital, useful faith. Maybe you could try that this week. A vital, useful faith looks like serving others, caring for others that might have a need. I heard that our kids ministry and guest experience ministry need some volunteers for fall. Vital usefulness in your faith might look like trying it out. Just see what it's like. You know what? God is going to bless you. One of the verses I didn't get to read today is from the very first chapter of Revelation. And it says there that when you listen to these words of Jesus and you follow through on what Jesus is telling you, you will be blessed. So where have you found yourself this morning in these themes? Usually at the end of a service, we give two or three action steps. Today, I have one single action step for you. Here it is. This week, take one of the themes to heart and make a change. The glorified, holy Jesus that appeared to John in this vision is speaking to you through these messages, and he's saying, hey, I want you to take this to heart. I want you to make a change. This is a powerful invitation from Jesus. There are a couple hundred people here in the room, over at Torrance, watching online. And if we all took one of these themes to heart and we all made a change, it will shift the temperature. It will shift the way that our world is, the way our community is, the way our families are. Jesus wants that for you. He wants that for us collectively as a church. So let's look at the three themes one last time. Jesus wants us to be faithful. He wants us to stay out of sin's trap. And he wants our faith to stay vital and useful. Whichever one it is for you, commit to doing that. When you leave church today, other things will kind of come at you. You will be bombarded with some good things, some exciting things, some things you're like, oh, why is this happening to me? And then maybe like midway through the week, you're going to forget about the theme that God spoke to you. I'm going to pray for you in a moment that God will continue to bring that theme to your mind because it's so important. Please don't walk away from here without knowing what your theme is for the week. Okay, I'm going to close us in prayer. I'm going to invite everybody to stand here at Manhattan Beach over at Torrance. If you're watching at home, go ahead and stand. Hey, if you have something going on in your life that you would like prayer for, we have an amazing team of volunteers at both campuses down front by the cross. Please feel free to step over there anytime. They would love to pray for you. It's their specialty. All right, let me pray for us. Oh, dear Jesus, thank you that you have given us this revelation of who you are, that you are glorious and great. And even given just that greatness of who you are, you still want to hear from us. You still want a personal relationship with us. So I pray for each one that's listening to this message, that as they go throughout this week, that regardless of what is coming at them from life, that you would remind them of this feeling, of this thing that they have this morning, this word that you have given them for their lives. And I pray that you give them the courage and the strength to make a change. Be with them. Hold their hand. Give them that image in their mind of you holding them their hand in the midst of just life. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You are always there. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for hearing our prayers, Jesus. We love you so much. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. All right, have a great week. You guys, see you next week.